listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
This is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save the Marriage podcast. Today, I have the distinct honor of talking with one of my coaches. She's on my team. Terry Hayes is going to join me in just a minute. Terry has been with me for a number of years and is just a top-notch coach. And today, we're talking boundaries. In fact, we're talking about the five reasons that healthy boundaries are important for you. This is crucial information. I know there's a lot of confusion around boundaries. So let's turn now and join me as I talk with Terry about the importance of those boundaries. So before I talk with Terry some about our subject today, I want to tell you a bit of a story. This story happens and is true with my good friend, Ray, who is now in his late 70s. Ray and I teach scuba together and have for many years. But I think back on some pivotal lessons I've learned from Ray along the way. One of them happened when we took our first trip down to Florida. I was a student at that time, but I was riding along in his van. And I remember that I was unsure about kind of the rules of what was going to happen. And so when we stopped for gas, I was trying to, you know, to kind of be valiant. And so I jumped out and I said, "Hey, I'll pay for the gas." And he said, "Oh, okay." And so I paid for the gas. And then we stopped again at the next gas station. And I said, "Hey, let me get this too," because I was clear that it was his van. And so I wanted to be contributing and I wanted him to also like me. And so I got ready to do it. He said, "Well, you don't need to do that." I said, "No, I want to be able to contribute." He said, "Well, at the end of the ride, we'll add up all of the gas that we all purchase and we'll divide it out and each of us will pay a fair share." And I thought, wow, that's kind of nice because now I know the rule. I also noticed that whenever he and I would eat out for lunch, he was very clear that he was paying his way and I was paying mine. So there was never that discomfort with, do I grab the check or is he going to grab the check? And what happened because of that is we didn't get entangled. You know, he was very clear and I felt free to order whatever I wanted, not having to worry. And I felt free that he could order whatever he wanted, not having to worry. And we didn't spend those uncomfortable moments wondering what was going to happen with that check. That's clarity. And part of the clarity that came out of that relationship was through what we're going to talk about today. Terry and I are going to talk about boundaries and how that can help. So Terry, thank you so much for being here. I'm really excited. This is one of those areas that I think people really miss out on. They don't recognize the power of boundaries. So let's start with this. Can you just quickly define what you mean by boundaries and how that can help?
Absolutely. And I think that that actually helps clear up a lot for many people is that boundaries are not like, okay, here's my rules that you're going to follow and here's your rules that I'm going to follow. It's not done with an aggressive or a hostile kind of an approach. It really is about coming from a place of just total clarity and desire to make things easy. I mean, that's really the best place to come from when you're looking at boundaries is I want things to be easy. I want them to be easy for me. I want them to be easy for whoever it is I'm helping set boundaries up with. That's the point is I want us to be able to really enjoy the drive or the meal like you were describing and not have that lingering, you know, scratching at the back of your brain going, well, is this right? Is this going to be right? Am I doing the right thing? Like, let's just clear up the confusion and make life easier. So boundaries are about established guidelines that are your default. They become your default in how certain situations or certain activities are handled. So, for example, I have a client I'm working with actually that recently the one spouse has incurred a very serious injury. And the other spouse has been thrown into a bit of trauma around this and is really nervous now and is very anxious. And a new boundary had to be established, one they never thought that they would need to bring into their relationship. And that is that at this present moment that the injured spouse doesn't go off on long walks with the dog without taking their cell phone. Because the other spouse right now, that throws them into such a heightened sense of anxiety that they just but they just go off the deep end. I mean, they're just like jumping in the car after 40 minutes and trolling back roads looking for the partner. And it's like, if you could just establish the boundary that even if just for now, during the recovery, you don't take the dog for a walk without your cell phone so that we can stay in contact. If that boundary works, then both of them get to be at ease.
I love that. But part of what happens, I think, when we talk about boundaries, and for people who are familiar with boundaries, is it becomes a rule game. And I remember years ago, I was teaching at a church about boundaries. And it was a four-part series, 4 weeks. I remember after the first week, you know, I was walking away feeling pretty good about how I explained boundaries. And part of the way I explain boundaries is it's what you won't let somebody do to you. You know, it's kind of the boundary of your existence. But sometimes that can feel very strong-arming. And so the way you described it as well, because that second week, you know, I remember I walked away going, wow, I nailed that session.
Go me.
Yeah. Yay. I know I've changed everybody. And this woman came up to me at the beginning of the first one, just furious at the beginning of that second session. And she said, this doesn't work. And I said, I'm sorry. She said, boundaries, they don't work. And I said, well, tell me what you mean by that. And she said, I did those boundary things to my husband and it didn't work. And I stopped and I said, wait, boundaries are not things you do to somebody. You're clarifying for them how you want to be treated. And in some ways, there is a no to it. But your example is a much softer no. It's not a no, you're not allowed to go walk. It's can we agree for clarity's sake so that I can feel safe, so that you are safe, that you can, you know, kind of take that walk with that phone. Then you can go do your walk, but I can feel good about you're safe.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the whole thing is it's about recognizing how it benefits both parties. So in other words, don't come home after 7 without calling. Mm-hmm. Like that seems like a rule, right? Don't come home after 7 without calling me. Well, that can feel punitive or the parent-child relationship or any number of things. Whereas, you know, I plan my whole day to have dinner on the table by 7 and I'm trying to accomplish a goal. But then if I reach that goal and the whole thing falls apart because you're not here yet, dinner gets cold and all these things, I start to get resentful. I start to feel, you know, worried. That's what happens. So can we both create a win-win where I'm not in that space and you don't need to come home to me in that space? Mm-hmm. You know, it's a conversation about agreements when both parties understand why.
So as we're talking, here we are talking about it in a marriage context, but just for a moment, let's say this is broader than between a couple. And I learned this lesson not having recognized it until in my adulthood, what was going on. But when I was a teenager, my father sat down and he said, and in fact, I remember exactly when it happened because up until then, you know, he'd been very clear about the, you know, here's what our expectations about curfew. And then I go off to college and I come back and suddenly he says, so son, let's talk about when I expect you home at night. And I said, okay. And he said, I expect you to be home during the week. And this was my first summer back. And he said, I expect you to be home during the week by 11 and on weekends by midnight. And I said, okay, you know, I was probably out later than that while I was at college. He said, yes, I do know that. But now it's changed. And I said, okay, well, why that rule? And I remember him saying, well, in the morning, I have to get up and go to work. And my father was a pastor, so he was working on Sunday. So even Saturday night counted. He said, I am going to lie in bed until I hear you're safely at home. And if you're not safely at home, I'm going to be lying there, even if I don't want to be, wondering if you're okay. So I need you to do that so that I can get up in the morning and do what I need to do. And I said, oh, okay. And I realized that this whole curfew thing was about respect because he explained it. He was very clear on his expectation, but he explained it in a way that I recognized was, you know, out of that respect for the house and how we all operate. And so I did ask one further question. I said, well, what do you do when I'm at college? And he laughed. He said, I pretend that you're in bed at 8 o'clock every night. So, know, he can play that fantasy not knowing better. And so that is one of the, so a couple of things you've already talked about. These boundaries are about clarity. Mm-hmm. That, and this is an important one. They end up being agreements.
Right.
Because they're, you're not saying, as this woman did to her husband, you will not do this. It was, here's what I want from you. Let's agree on it.
Yes. Well, and you bring up another piece to this, which is boundaries go across all of life. Mm. I distinctly remember we had, this is, Lord, 20 years back, we had some, we were renting and the landlord hired some contractors to come and work on the house. And I said, they cannot come in. They were working on the outside of the house. They cannot come in. And the reason that they cannot come in is we had three very large, excitable dogs. And I just, they were fine. They weren't going to attack anybody, but I just didn't want the drama of that on the inside of the house. Mm-hmm. And I said, so if they need to come in, they need to let me know. Well, I came home, the dogs are out and there's big muddy footprints down my hall. And so I said to the landlord, hey, you know, guys are in the house. Could you please remind them not to come in without letting me know? Because I would have secured the dogs differently. Well, about 45 minutes later, I get this pounding knock at the back door and I open the back door to one of the contractors who just is wanting to give me a ration for accusing his people of being in the house. And he was swearing it wasn't them and blah. And it was just a string of expletives. And I just literally put my hand up like a stop sign. And he paused and I said, I actually have a boundary that nobody gets to speak to me that way. So you can either change what you're saying or I'm going to close the door. Mm. And the dumbstruck look on his face, which was like, oh, and he changed. Yeah. He changed the whole conversation. Yeah. And obviously that's not somebody I'm married to, but that's the thing of, that's the thing with boundaries is they, I didn't have to get bought into like, oh my gosh, that man's verbally assaulting me and now I'm in my emotional space. It's like, wait, well, hold up. This is against one of my boundaries. And I could just bring that forward and I was prepared to close the door if he didn't. So
it creates a space, you know, a safe right. space so that you can operate and do what you need to do. Okay, so you've got five reasons why healthy boundaries are for anyone. Let's say everyone.
Everyone. Yes, yeah, they everyone. Are for everyone.
Okay, so let's talk about those five places. I mean, this is really because the 5 points are going to clarify the nature of boundaries and what happens when you not just kind of practice them, but when you make them internal.
Right. So the first one is it's less work, which leaves you with more fuel. I know that it seems like it's a lot of work to run around and establish healthy boundaries and to have things that, you know, it's like, oh, wait, we need to put a boundary there. We need to negotiate this. Yes, there's upfront work. That's true. But over the long haul, knowing those things, having those things just be part of your routine actually does serve you to work less and have more energy reserves to put towards the stuff you want to put it towards. Like if you could imagine, let's say, and I'll use this as an example. Let's say you've got a partner who says, oh, honey, don't put your glass down on the desk. That makes a ring. Oh, don't put your glass down on the table like that. That makes a ring. Oh, there's another glass. My honey put a glass down on that table. Now there's a ring. And so then before too long, one party feels like they're chasing the other one around all the time, trying to clean up the glass. And the other one's like, for crying out loud, I can't put my glass down anywhere. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, right, imagine just having an agreement, say glasses have coasters. Like that's the agreement. Doesn't matter where the glass is. Has to have a coaster. So from that point forward, one party is no longer being chased, feels chased, and the other party gets to kind of go, oh, I don't have to run around chasing all the time. Overall, it creates less work and that lets you reserve more energy for the things that you want because energy is finite, right? We all have bandwidth. And if you spend 25% of your bandwidth being in resentment of being chased around about the glass, or being resentful, chasing around about the glass, that's 25% of your bandwidth that's gone off to something that really isn't drawing either one of you closer or forward.
So in my example, dinner, I could enjoy dinner. I wasn't wasting energy wondering who was going to pay the bill. And on the drive, I wasn't wasting energy wondering, how are we going to make this fair? It was automatically fair by the boundary. So, and again, boundary, meaning it was clarified. And I think about how many times you watch parents and children wasting energy because the child doesn't know that the rule is a rule everywhere. And so it's situational. You know, how about here? Does it matter here? Do I need to be polite here? And there's a lot of energy that gets sucked into that, and true in relationships too, where you go, yeah, does it matter here? And what about this? Because they're not discussed and fully disclosed. So those boundaries are you're saying to clarifying it on the front side saves you all the thought process and all the energy waste on the backside.
Yeah, and the frustration, because that is usually what the byproduct is. Where there is a lack of clear boundaries, the consequence is often first frustration. And frustration, I mean, we could literally, you know, have a whole separate show talking just about how frustration and stress can negatively impact your life. I mean, your whole life, your health, everything. But that is often the first side effect of an absence of boundaries is frustration.
Yeah. And both sides.
Yes. Yes. That's the point. It's good for both. It's not just good for the person who says, Hey, I think I have a boundary.
Right.
It actually winds up being good for both sides.
Yeah. Yeah. And so let's say very clearly boundaries there. I put two categories of boundaries. There are boundaries I have, and then there are the boundaries we have, you know, as a couple. And so what we're talking about in terms of, and the relation within the relationship is my boundaries. You know, how do I clarify my boundaries, what I expect? And then the other person can get, okay, you know, now I know how I need to operate or refuse to operate that way, which then brings up the, you know, what are the repercussions of not being willing to live within the boundaries?
Okay. Yeah, which is, I mean, I think that's an important conversation for premarital. I mean, if you're having this conversation premarital and you've got somebody that you're really compatible with, but there's half a dozen boundaries where you guys are not coming to an agreement, that could be a real issue.
Yeah. And that's a conversation, as I've watched, that's a conversation very, very few couples have before they get married. And I would say that at least very few people recognize and are clear about the meanings of boundaries. So, you know, the subset, you've got the group of people who go, oh, boundaries, I don't even know what you're talking about. And then of that, you have the couples getting married who go, boundaries, who needs boundaries? We love each other. So they walk in either unclear about what boundaries are or unclear about the importance of the boundaries.
Well, that leads perfectly to my second point. My second point is that if you set up healthy boundaries, there winds up being less confusion and conflict in the long run, even though it may be a bit of a negotiation up front. And the reason for that is that by setting up boundaries in advance, ideally, like we're saying, it would be great if couples were doing this before, you know, in the premarital phase. It means that you're not trying to set them up after the wounds have already started or in the middle of an emotional meltdown. Who's at their best in that moment? I mean, come on. and yet we're kind of depending, right? If we don't set up healthy boundaries, don't have clarity around that for ourselves, don't bring that to our partners and relationships, then what we're actually saying in a not so subtle way is, I'll figure it out when I run into something. Well, let's think about that for a second. When you run into something, somebody's hurt, somebody's upset, somebody's frustrated, possibly crisis has occurred, emotions are high. Is that really your best decision making? Is that where you want to be in order to set healthy, reasonable boundaries and have a calm conversation about it with somebody? That is the worst possible scenario. Now, sometimes it'll happen. It'll be unavoidable that that's how something emerges. But do as much as you can ahead of time, and it ultimately makes things so much less confusing and less stressful because you're not trying to make those decisions in the raw heat of the moment.
So, which is an excellent point. I mean, I do think that, you know, I've watched it, parenting by the seat of your pants and relating by the seat of your parents. You know, I'll figure it out as it hits. And you're right. It is the absolute worst time. So let's talk about maybe some areas that a couple might discuss those boundaries, so we can see how it would create less confusion on each side. What are some? I've got some examples, but what are some examples that come to your mind?
The way that we argue. So that's a big one for me. You know, it's like I really see a lot of people who struggle with boundaries around this. And so it becomes a free for all. So every time there's a discussion, this, you know, temperate environment, this temperate relationship suddenly turns into dish throwing, name calling, real overt hostility. And that is, as we all know, that is really hard to come back from. Mm. And so healthy boundaries around how are we going to disagree? How are we going to have those moments where we really are frustrated with each other? Do we both get, you know, what's the boundary? The boundary is if I say I need to take a day and think about it, then I need to take a day. Or we don't get to call each other names. We don't get to throw things. We don't, you know, that's not going to be part of our agreement. That is one area right off the bat that I think is sadly overlooked.
Yeah.
Because so many people aren't having those fights, you know, in the blissful stages. So they're like, oh, things are just lovely, you know.
We'll never have that. Yes.
We'll never have that.
Guarantee. Yeah. And so how we argue, let's be clear that boundaries are individual. So how you choose to negotiate those boundaries, what you arrive on, the specifics of it are less important that you abide by it. Most people don't say, hey, you know what? I'm okay with, you know, you yelling at me or you calling me names. But there are plenty of couples that find that to not be a big deal. And so the point is not so much is there a, you know, Terry and I are not going to say this is how you need to argue as much as to say you might want to discuss the boundaries around arguing, how you're going to do that.
Right. Yeah, there are lots of, I have some really dear friends and I they've been married for 23 years now. Happy couple kids. I mean, they just love each other to pieces. I could not do their relationship. I just could not do it. There's a lot of snipey, sarcastic, and believe me, I'm as funny and sarcastic as the next person, but it passes a boundary that I'm comfortable with. And so for them, it works. For them, they're fine. For me, I'd be out, you know, I'd be like, done.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I see the same thing. I watch people who really just go after each other and they're both good with it. And I'm a little more disliking of conflict. So my threshold is much lower. But how you do that conflict is important, how far it can go, how much space needs to happen in there, what can be said, what can't be said, how you stay on topic. All of those pieces are, you know, instead of, well, how do you want to argue? That's a broad one. But how do you want to do those pieces? What level, what tone is enough? And, you know, I guess one of the things that I do believe is a base point of arguing or of conflict is it should be in the purpose of getting somewhere. And if you're just arguing to argue, that may be a place, but I also know people who just seem to like to communicate that way. We have friends that are on the opposite ends of the political spectrum, and they just seem to like to have those discussions.
Have a good row.
And neither one are going to change the other. And they get past it and recognize it's not personal, you know, and that's so they even within that. So I guess that what we're saying is arguing is a great topic. How you what you arrive at is up to the two of you.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll give you an example out of my own life around that. So one of the things that I have said, and I have actually said this in a couple of relationships is if you ever find yourself feeling that I am being insensitive to you, stop and let me know, because that is absolutely something I will not ever intentionally do. I will never, ever do anything to be spiteful or in revenge or vengeance or like that. Just I will not do that. So if anything comes across that way, please jump up and say something, because I will want to talk about it.
Which also generally means that you won't be accepting of somebody being spiteful and vengeful.
Correct. Exactly. And that's the same thing as I have to have that trust that that's not a direction you're ever going to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've got how we argue. Are there other areas that strike you?
Yes, in that, and that is that the one of the benefits of really bringing in healthy boundaries is it's a worthy conversation starter. So often when we get into conflict with another person, whether it's our partner or anyone in anywhere, we talk about the thing. Whatever the thing is that kind of popped the bubble or raised up as an issue. You put the glass there. You were 15 minutes late. You blah, 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 blah. We talk about the thing. Whereas if we can talk more about boundaries, they're actually very worthy conversation starters. They help us stay out of the nitpicky stuff and go to the stuff that matters, which is instead of you put the glass there, it's I'm feeling disrespected. Like we get to go to that, the bigger conversation, which actually helps resolution come faster. Hmm. When we stop with 10 arguments about things that leave us feeling disrespected and just cut to the chase of, hey, I have a boundary around feeling disrespected. You know, when we have boundaries or when we have agreements, it gives us a better jumping off place. We spend less time in the minutia.
And it also redirects. For instance, that glass, you put your glass where you can't, right? And the subtext of that is you're a slob. And mm-hmm. if you say instead, I'm not okay with you putting it there because it leaves a ring, then it becomes my issue. You know, I have a concern about that. Not you're a problem, but I have a concern about that. And yeah. It moves it to the relational aspect, not the blame aspect.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. 100%. And actually, it's really funny. My husband and I have had a couple of rows with this because I am a bit of a neat freak and he has ADD. And so I cruise through a room. I know you're laughing automatically.
Yes, I am.
So I cruise through a room and I see something out and I don't think twice about it. I'm not angsty. I go, oh, this doesn't go here. And I pick it up and I move it. And he follows through and goes, where did it go? And I said, I put it away. And so it would be really easy for us to go around with, he can't put anything in anywhere, blah, blah. And he stopped and he said, here's the deal. I work so hard to remember where I put things that when I think I know that it's here and I come in, it's so frustrating to me. And so when I got that perspective over it, now I try very hard to leave it there or at the very least announce, hey, I'm moving this so that we aren't in that dance. But without that explanation behind it, without understanding where it comes from for him, it would have been super easy for me to just run with, he's just cluttery or I'm, he just expects me to pick things up or, I mean, 100 other little thoughts, right? And vice versa on his side, he could have come up with 100, she's always chasing my stuff down, don't touch my stuff, you know, kind of stuff.
So this is a very interesting one because it, what you're saying is it in some ways takes it away off the thing or I would say that not just the thing, but the other person as you're the problem and back to why this is important to me. And so you said more worthy conversation starter, I think it's well said because now you're not in the blame game. Now you're talking right. about expectations. But if you're talking about expectations, I think that leads us to your fourth point, right? That when, so between you and your husband, you know, you have a side of I need things. I'm guessing most neat freaks start losing energy if things are disorganized. So part of the neatness, the need for neat is to hold on to that energy and not lose it. And so
yes.
on the other mm-hmm. side, he is, he's already expended energy. He's constantly expending energy to try to remember where something is. And so his way of dealing with that is to say, well, my mug's on top of the TV. You know, that's, I put it there.
Right.
So I'll know
right.
where it is. And so now we have, both of you you're having now a worthy conversation rather than him saying, how dare you take my cup and you saying, how dare you leave your cup. Now you're talking about why it's an issue for the two of you. And there is a conclusion right. to that.
Yes. And that's where we shift into the emotional component, by the way, which is, you know, once we get past the, it's not about the cup, then it can be, it's like, oh, this increases my spouse's frustration. This is something that gives him that exasperated feeling. I love him. I care about him. I don't want to create that for him. why would I want to create that for him? So it helps me get to the emotional level so that it's not about control of the cup. It's about recognizing the emotional influence we have on each other. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big shift. And that actually gives both of us, and which really this is another piece here, that gives us a smoother agreements. We fight less. I mean, I can't even remember the last time we fought. And it isn't because we're just perfect. It's because we pay attention to each other around this stuff. And that really leads to a lot more agreement and a greater sense of safety. I mean, a much greater sense of safety. It's like, I understand what's expected. I understand what are consequences of my actions. And that, I think, is one of those things that in every situation, I mean, if we all thought about a boss, right? Somebody we worked for at some point, a boss that we had that had ever shifting expectations. You were always walking on eggshells. You're always trying to figure out what isn't going to piss them off, what isn't going to get you in trouble. That's exhausting. And you feel constantly unsafe. You're never safe in that environment. Whereas if you have a really solid understanding, you're able to get to the emotional conversation. You're able to get to the to reserve your energy for those deeper emotional conversations because you're not chasing down the glass, then you end up, the byproduct is that you have a greater sense of safety. Both of you get to relax.
So you'd be, now, just because I know it's sometimes hard to catch conversations and get all the points. That was 4 and 5. Number 4,
yes,
is get more in agreement. And I want to circle back to this for people,
sure,
for anyone taking notes, because I am. Number 5 is greater sense of safety. So now let's just kind of think through that. Remember, sense of safety, again, is where we lose energy. One of the things that I try to be very clear when I'm using someone for some project, I like to have a contract, a very clear contract. And so I try to be as clear as I can about my expectation, and I expect clarity on the other side. And one of the ways that works is that I think it leaves both people feeling clear about where we're headed and clear about the outcome. And I'll tell you that there are several people that I've contracted for certain services that I would never again, because they, in the middle of it, tried to renegotiate the contract, you know. And and I was talking with my wife about this because I'm using a couple of younger people who it's kind of their first shot. And I said, you know, I'm trying to set a good example for how they want to do it. They want to be clear with me about what they're going to deliver, and I'm going to be clear with them about what I need from my side. I don't like anybody to change a contract on their end, because then it gives me that sense of, you know, am I going to get to the place I need to? And the same for me, they should expect me to follow through exactly on what I promise. And then everybody can relax.
Yeah. Yeah. Relax. That's the byproduct.
Yeah. And getting into an agreement. And so if a couple is very disconnected, that can be a challenge to get to that agreement place.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes when I've had people have this conversation, the first agreement is that they are conflicted.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. I think that there's another piece to that too, is there's also an agreement to sit down and talk about the agreements. Mm-hmm. On a pretty regular basis to check in to see if they're both still working, so that one party isn't festering over wishing there was a contract negotiation and the other one isn't like blissfully unaware of it. It's like, so if something emerges, right? Because we're all human. We all change. I mean, who I was 10 years ago sure as heck isn't who I am today. And so it would make sense that we would need to sit down periodically and say, this isn't working for me anymore. Mm-hmm. This thing, that thing, let's look at this. What can we do?
Yeah. And so get more in agreement isn't a static place.
Correct.
And so just to kind of push that home, because we talked about this, you know, people get married because they made an agreement, you know, they took vows, an agreement.
Right.
And then that agreement, probably naively thought, well, we'll never have a problem. So then you get a problem. Now there's a place for a new agreement.
Yes.
And now there's a place to have a new conversation about what we're agreeing to. I have some friends, they're both therapists, and both of them believe that every 5 years you renegotiate your entire, you're basically saying, should we continue this? And they always say yes, but yeah. they do it with it's a 5 year, you know, extension, which I'm not really in favor of how they frame that, but I understand what they're doing. They're sitting down and saying, what's working, what's not working.
Right.
Let's get to the place where it's working for both of us. And that's getting that back to that place of agreement. And you really that conversation encompasses all that we talked about. It does happen because they stay connected. They're intentional about their connection. And so it's easy to have that conversation. You know, if a couple is in trouble, it's probably going to be tough to say, hey, do you want to renegotiate this? Or, you know, are we done
here?
They're
like, no, I don't want to renegotiate this.
No renegotiation. Don't see the point. But if you stayed connected, then the connection, it kind of spirals inward and the connection leads to more and it's easier to talk about. And the connection grows better when the boundaries are clear, when there's less confusion, when it's a worthy conversation you're having, when you've worked on agreement and you both feel safe.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that needs to be called out here, because we do see a lot of people who are already in crisis. We really want them to take the approach where they're concurrently working on themselves and then building that emotional connection with their partner and then building forward to see what the we looks like and how that goes forward. That a person, any person who is also doing their own personal work is going through transformation. They're individually going to be trying things on and trying things out that may or may not work for them. So I always work with, when I work with someone, I say, you know, it's a good idea to say to your partner, hey, I'm trying some stuff on. Mm-hmm. I'm going to see what works for me. I don't even maybe know what works for me right now because it's either been so far removed from their past life experience with whoever they've been with before or how the relationship has gone forward thus far. They haven't been listening to their own voice. They haven't gone in and checked with their guts, tuned into their own feelings yet. And so some early, especially in conflict, right? Some early boundaries that come up, they may need to get changed pretty quickly because they were just a thought. It was like, huh, all right, I'm just trying this on. And so there's a tremendous amount of grace and compassion when boundaries are coming into focus for people who are working on themselves. They may not know. Your partner, whoever they are, may not be able to just bust theirs forward and go, oh, there's yours. Well, here's mine. Mm-hmm. Boom. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's one thing to really kind of remember when negotiating or bringing boundaries into the conversation is the other party is not exactly where you are with it. And that is perfectly okay. As a matter of fact, I can't imagine something that's more compassionate than to say, hey, some boundaries are really coming clear for me and I kind of want to put them on the table and I want to honor yours. And if you don't know what those are yet, that's okay. Take your time, figure it out. But like, it's a priority because I really want to be able to honor them.
And that can feel – so a boundary is a marking. I use one of my examples I often use about boundaries is, you know, when in our last house we had this picket fence around our backyard. It was a picket fence that went up about to my waist, meaning I could just step over it. And so the boundary marked our property. It didn't keep anybody from stepping over. You know, it's not a wall. It's not an impenetrable fortress. It marks the area.
You didn't have gun turrets set up?
No,
and,
we didn't.
You know, snipers?
We didn't even close the gate until our neighbors kept wandering into our backyard, and which is the point of this. So I have this picket fence around, and you know it's our backyard. And so it basically, it's not going to protect our yard, but it says this is our yard. And I remember one night my daughter was concerned that somebody was in our backyard. She was young, and it made her anxious. Something was happening in our backyard. So I go out back, you know, with my flashlight, and I flash the light onto my neighbors. Oh, well, my neighbor and my neighbor's dog. And I said, hey, can I help you? And they said, oh, our dog was just, you know, I followed basically the dog was leading the leash. Talk about a boundary issue
right
there with the pet. But
yeah.
The dog has decided to come into our backyard. And so they follow the dog in the backyard. And I said, well, you know what? That kind of makes my daughter a little anxious since her window's in the back. And so I'd prefer you not to come back here. Oh, well, you know, they point out the dog and said, my dog want to get back here. And I said, yeah, I'd prefer you not to. And so they walked on and we started latching our gate. Again, the gate won't keep them out. They can step over it. But
it's just one more layer.
I was clarifying. Yeah, it's just a clarification. Yeah. So boundaries are not weapons. They're clarifying where you, how you want to be treated, where you end, and how you want your spouse to be a part of that, and how the two of you then create boundaries to protect the relationship. That's
yes.
safety.
You know that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, there's that old story about squeezing, you know, the tube of toothpaste from the middle or rolling it up from the end.
Yeah.
Right. How many, that type of minutia, how many times have people gone to the mat over that, you know, for stuff like that, which of course is representative of other stuff. But here's the way I like to explain it is if you had a partner who said to you, look, it makes me insane to roll the tube of toothpaste up from the bottom. I've just got to be able to kind of grab it and squeeze it. And that's just got to be okay. Now, if I really, in my heart of hearts, do not care, ultimately, I'm going to let that go. I'm going to be like, sure, no problem. We can do that. But if for some reason I'm one of the people that's like, oh, that's the end of the world. Like, you can't just grab your toothpaste from the center. You have to roll it up from the end. Then I get to kind of own that clarity. We get to have that conversation about, well, why is that? What do you think about that? And is there a solution for the two of us? If we really are at opposite ends, then is there a solution? What can we agree on? And that is the other piece that comes out of this is when we approach it as this is a process that ensures long-term relationship health. Then when we do hit an impasse, like the dog just does keep wanting to come in your backyard, no matter what, do we have a, okay, so how do we make it work?
Mm-hmm.
How do we make it work conversation?
And here is an interesting thing about that conversation, because I've had that exact same exchange with couples before in my office fighting about the toothpaste.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And I'll say, how many times have you had this fight? And they'll tell me it's been repeated, you know, for the last
200
years. Yeah, yeah. We fight about it all the time. And my response is very simple. Why don't you have separate tubes? I mean,
yeah.
And what they realize is they were so busy defending their belief that they never problem solved to get to a resolution.
Yeah. Or, why don't you guys have separate tubes? Why don't you just move to one of those ones that comes in a bottle? Do you even share the same bathroom?
Yeah.
Are you actually actively using each other's? Is this actually on principle?
Yeah. And that's when it gets back to that worthy conversation. If you say, right. You know what, it kind of drives me crazy when you squeeze from the end, and which I think more often it's when you squeeze at the middle, right? So it kind of drives me crazy. And here's why. Here's what I would love for us to figure out how to get beyond the it's driving me crazy is different than you slob. How dare you squirt it from the middle? What are you thinking? We're wasting, you know,
right,
30
right.
cents per tube, whatever it is.
Right, exactly.
and so then you're on a different conversation.
Right.
And you take that out. You know, you remove
sure.
that.
Because it can easily come across as a control conversation if you don't bring in the why.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's because I said so. I'm trying to control how you do this. I'm trying to control how you do that, how you do this. And that may or may not be actually what's happening. Now, obviously, I'm not saying people don't attempt to control each other. That happens for all sorts of reasons. But when you get into the conversation and you can say, well, what's really happening here? What is it that you're worried about? How does this make you feel? What is your concern about this? Like personally, mm-hmm. What work does this generate for you? What, you know, it's like, that's where you get into the deeper conversation. Not because I think sometimes people say things like, well, why do you care? Why do you care what I squeeze from? And it's like, here's why I care. like, let's explore it, you know, really allow yourself. And that again has to do with that self-awareness piece. Not everybody is lock, stock, and barrel ready to go into that conversation fully armed. Sometimes it takes people. It's like, oh, you don't know? All right. If I was working with somebody, it's like, you don't know why you keep squeezing it from the middle and why you're not willing to give it up. Okay. Can you think about it? Would you be willing to kind of think about it and see what comes up for you?
And to recognize that if you don't have a good reason and it's still driving someone else crazy, it might be worth finding a solution.
Right, exactly.
Because
in that case, it might be erring on the side of the relationship
right.
versus the unknown mystery annoyance.
Exactly. And which is interesting. So the reason we have this conversation is that if you've read the core module I have, the Save the Marriage module, I have a whole chapter on boundaries, and yet we know that lots of people, for some reason, avoid setting the boundaries. And so here, Terry has outlined five really good reasons that may both give you fuel to go work on your boundaries and help you understand that boundaries are softer than you might think when you first ponder that. Because a lot of times, the first time you set a boundary, it's because your boundaries have been crossed and it hurt. And so it feels like a very defensive posture, but it's clarity. My friend, Ray, he doesn't have to stomp his feet and be hurt about how we're going to divide the gas bill or who's going to pay for lunch. He's just clear about his boundaries. And so there's a place in boundary setting where the boundaries become automatic. You know people around you that you just know how to treat them because of how they carry themselves. And part of that is because they have taken in the boundaries and set the boundaries and are relaxed about their own sense of who they are because they've clarified it enough times. And then you go, oh, okay, that's someone I'm not going to yell at. That's somebody I'm not going to fuss at. So let me just highlight these five reasons one more time. The boundaries are less work once you've established them. That's an important part. There is some effort on the front side to be clear about that. And the number one place of clarity is for yourself to recognize what that is. The second mm-hmm. is that it leads to less confusion. And then Terry also added, and conflict, after we were talking for a few minutes, on both sides. So the arguing goes down and the resolution goes up. So there's much less confusion on both sides, much less conflict. Number three, there is a more worthy conversation that comes out of that. It's a great worthy conversation starter because you're removing it from the thing and you get down to that emotional level. Which leads to number four, it gets you into an agreement or into agreement. And being in agreement in any relationship is a whole lot more fun than being in disagreement, which leads to that fifth one, that there's a greater sense of security and safety when you know how to operate. You can kind of relax into that. So, Terry, did that kind of name off those five areas?
Absolutely. Covered them beautifully. Okay. And just like I said, just remember to come in with grace and compassion when you start these conversations, because there are many, many, many people who've never thought about this stuff before. They haven't yet done a lot of their own personal work. And so they may not know. They may not know. And it may take them a little time.
So let me just add a couple of places where you might immediately go, oh, there's a boundary probably there. If you find yourself anxious, angry, or frustrated. That's a lot of times people don't want to admit they're angry. So frustrated or feeling disjointed, feeling insecure, all of those are probably telling you that a boundary is getting pushed that you may not have named yet. If you find that your conflicts are not particularly helpful, they're not problem solving, they're not moving in a good direction, it's probably around somewhere that something's getting hit around boundaries. And so those are the times when you step back and say, okay, what's the boundary that's getting crossed here? We talked about arguing, but so, I mean, there are boundaries that you probably want to discuss around social media, about meeting with somebody of your attractive sex, you know, all of those elements of how you protect the relationship. So there's your personal ones, how you want to be treated, you know, what's okay to happen when somebody's upset with you, how you expect that to happen, how the two of you then manage your relationship, what's okay. And I get more questions about, is this okay? And my response is, I don't know. Is it okay for the two of you? Because it's your boundaries. Those
right.
are the big areas to think about for yourself and to have a discussion about. Terry, any others that you would add to that?
No, I think you're spot on. I think, again, just to give a quirky, kind of a quirky interpretation of boundaries is I worked with a client one time and said, I have a hard, fast boundary around Valentine's Day. You can forget every other holiday out there. You are not allowed to forget Valentine's Day. That's a button for me. Yeah. And of course, you know, that's not on anybody else's list necessarily. There are lots of people who could care less about Valentine's Day, but for that individual, that came around as a real clarity that they actually could, their partner could forget every other holiday if they just did remembered that one. So it doesn't have to be something that's like mainstream. It can be totally unique to you.
And that gives the other, I mean, so if I knew that, man, I'd be having a countdown to Valentine's Day on my calendar. You know, you
put right, exactly.
I now have 12 days to figure that out. I now have 10 days. I now have one day and a big buzzer to tell me it's Valentine's Day because now I know. And right. So no surprises if it's been clarified. You know, if somebody has that as a unspoken boundary and a Valentine's Day gets missed and, you know, they file for divorce or they spend 2 weeks pouting, that's not fair. If you're inflicting harm when a boundary is not followed that you've never clarified, that's your bad. The question is, how do you practice setting the boundary so that there is clarity for the other person? If somebody doesn't follow a boundary that you've been clear about, that's even been an agreement, then that's their bad. But if you haven't clarified it, that's all on you.
Yeah. Well, and you said something else earlier that I want to circle back to just very quickly is, you know, in essence of time. And that is, what are the signs, you know, the signs that there might be a boundary. I also find that a lot of people who use the phrase, well, so-and-so hurt me, right? My parents, my previous boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, so-and-so did this. And now I'm really super, super sensitive about it. So I'm going to go ahead and bring it into our relationship. That's a sign that either you've got your own personal work to do around that, or it could be that that's a boundary. Don't bring the reaction into the new relationship. Look to see if there's a boundary that actually helps manage whatever you're worried about. That kind of baggage piece is often a sign.
So another way of saying that is the boundaries are a good indicator that you may be playing victim and you might want to step up your game and escape that role.
Yeah. Check to see if it's your own personal stuff because there's only so much we get to say, this has been done to me. I picked it up. Now I'm going to carry it forward.
Right. Yeah. Boundaries are an incredibly important piece. And one of the core elements, I really think that in terms of personal development, creating your own boundaries and setting your own standards and not doing the reverse to other people is critical for development. And in terms of an in trouble relationship, this is critical work. In terms of setting the boundaries of a relationship, it's critical work. If you've been sitting here listening going, oh my gosh, I've got to work on my personal boundaries because I want to have more energy and less loss to that. And I want to have clarity on both sides and I want to have worthy conversations and I want to be in agreement with my spouse and myself. And I want to feel safer. Terry is one of my top coaches and she is available to work with you. So if that kind of hit you and you're going, I think I might need to work on that. You can email Terry at Terry, T-E-R-R-I, at SaveTheMarriage.com, Terry at SaveTheMarriage.com, and just say, I need your coaching in the subject line and say why. Just kind of say, hey, I heard you on the podcast. I got some boundary stuff I got to work on. Can we do that together? And by the way, Terry doesn't just do boundary stuff. If you've got a relationship issue, then that's a great time to go in. And more than that, if you've got a personal issue that's impacting your relational stuff, if you've got a place where you need some coaching around that, Terry is available to do that. So Terry, T-E-R-R-I, at SaveTheMarriage.com, and just put that subject line, I need some coaching. Terry, any final words?
Nope. Just if I get your email, I'm on it.
Yes.
we can get that done.
Good. Great. Terry, thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing. This has been great and a great frame for understanding those boundaries.
been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.